Right, so just quickly before we head into the details, let's just recap quickly how we get to the place where we can handle what's on the table tonight. I just want to read the scripture again that we covered last week. Ephesians 2, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. Okay, so Warren, is it bad for this thing if someone stands on it, the subwoofer? Okay, it's there. Klimgop daai ding vir my. I've illustrated this so many times and I will continue to because we've said the name of Jesus so many times and we will continue to. I mean this is just a good way to illustrate it. If Rudy represents Jesus, very good looking, about to get married, $1 million smile. Okay, can you be Jesus for us for tonight? Is that okay? Okay, thanks. All right, now just by means of illustration, if a person's journey in their life is this way, this is how you journey. And on this side, let's call this the dark side or the going nowhere side or the death side, the sin side. This side of Rudy is before I met Christ. Okay. And if someone meets Jesus, means their life journey continues on this side. Does that make sense just for basic illustration? Okay, so what the Bible says is every human being starts this side. Are we on one page? Every baby gets born, the whole world gets born this side. No exception. Doesn't matter if your parents are believers. Doesn't matter if they put water on your head, on your feet, put ketchup on your food or not, have a little cross in your cot where you sleep, wrap you with linen that's washed in holy water, it won't change. It's the same thing. All get born this side. All get born in sin. Okay? The Bible says that we are dead. This has been called death because if we die, we have eternal death. It's life without God and we spend eternity in a place that's not so nice, it's called hell, okay? Now, if we meet Christ here, it happens because of one reason, and that's His kindness, not my doing. That's the most important thing that we must understand here. This thing that happens here where I bow my knee before Christ and my life changed and there's a desire starting in my heart to worship Him, and I start to walk on this side of Christ, to follow Him and love Him. And I still make mistakes. I still sin. But it's like my heart wants to worship Him. You know what I'm talking about? This happens, Scripture says, because of grace. And nothing I did on this side. Okay? Are we together? Just hold on, Rudy. Don't jump off yet. Now, just to make sure we're in this together, everything, sometimes we find ourselves on this side of the cross. We see believers, we grow up in Christian homes, we see the way believers act, and sometimes it stimulates something in our heart. Something starts to move, and we want to please God. All right? But now, what Scripture says is the only way we can be pleasing to God is when we meet God. Because that's the moment He washed us and we can come into His presence. Now, anything I do on this side is called what? To please Him. What's it called? Dead works. I'm trying to reach out to God. Maybe I do some good things so that I may do other things that's not so great. And then I qualify myself by doing some good things. It's all the same. I am living this side. Okay, but if I meet Him, normally it happens through, I don't know why, but sometimes it happens with immense failure in your life. it's just with the most people, it's just, it's, I'm sorry about that. But it's like people won't follow God until they have to. When someone is gone or there's just no money or there's no job, there's nothing, and then they're here. Okay? On their knees. How do you know if this moment is real? I'm spending some time here, but this is important. Let's say someone bow their knees here. Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life. How do you know if this is real? Who wants to try something? Make a comment? How do we know whether saving really happened? Fruit. Okay. In other words, the person's life. But let me make it even easier. Give back the job. Give back the money. Give back the TV. Give back the bucky. Whatever. Give back everything and see whether the person goes to this side or that side. Then you know whether what happens here was real or not. Because if this person really met Christ, the devil can throw anything at them or take anything from them. They will still serve Christ. But you can also say the opposite. Some people, maybe I think I know Christ until my mom dies. And then I fall to this side because then I realize I didn't have a faith. Because my perception of God was something different. I saw God as someone that makes sure my life is okay. I'm not worshiping Him. He's looking after me. So the challenges of life and the blessings of life both shows me whether my faith is real. Oh Lord, I am flat out for you. Flat out as a student. I get into a company, I get paid a huge salary, and I don't honor God with my tithe. There's my test. Okay. Now, on this side, because I don't have in my heart, a connection with who Jesus is, it's difficult for me to experience Him as loving. Okay. I see Him as a strict master. He wants me to change stuff. He wants me to do stuff. He wants me to don't do things. And it's almost like I want to do whatever I can do just to be saved, because He's actually a harsh God. And yeah, it's a difficult thing. But when this moment happens here and it's for real and your heart gets awakened, you step onto this side, something changes in your heart. You're born again. The Bible says you become new. And for the first time in your life, you realize you want to live in such a way to show that you love God. Because at this moment, yeah, you experience His love for the first time. And you've done zilts to deserve it, and you know it. And so when you step into this side, previously it was difficult to deal with stuff because you feel you had to. But when God changed your heart, you want to respond different because you love Him. That's the difference. Why do you love Him? What happened? You experienced His love for you and it bowled you out. It got you on your knees and in your heart, something soft, and you're like, He loves me that much? And something in you awakens, I want to change my life for Him. Will He love you more if you do better on this side? This is a question. Huh? Can't love you more. So you are no longer looking for God's approval. He already approves of you. You're just loving Him. Just loving Him. And so that's the difference between the wife that cooks because she must, because he's getting home and he's going to be mad if there's no food. And the wife that knows if she's had a terrible day and her husband comes home and there's no food, it's okay, we'll make a plan. But cooks because she loves. I'm using cooking for example. All women don't cook, okay? But you know what I'm saying. All right? It's a big difference. This is called death. This is called life. I love you, Lord. Help me do better. It's no longer, Here, hoe ver kan ek met my girlfriend gaan voor het sonde is? Okay? It's, Lord, how, what can we do the day we get married to be showered with blessings? How far can we go? How far can we stay away from temptation? Because I know you've got something for us. I know you, Lord, you want to bless us. You see the difference? Try and do marriage with a relationship built on this. It's difficult. It's transaction for transaction. You do, I do. You give, I give. You don't give, do marriage this side. It's freedom. It's light. It's peace. Try and do relationship with God from this angle. You can't. It's not possible. You think there's a relationship, there's only religion or death. This side, amazing things happen. Now, thank you, Rudy. I spend a lot of time here because tonight we are on this side. Last week we were on that side. Okay? We hear this side tonight. And I'm assuming you love him so much. And you are thinking at this moment through your life and you're like, how can I love him more? What can I do more to show to God how much he means to me so that I may glorify him? That's where I'm at tonight. Check this out. John chapter 8. She said, no one, Lord. Okay, it's a woman. She's caught in adultery. You know what it means to be caught in adultery? Dit beteken jy word in die bed gevang. Met iemand wat jy nie moet wees. Okay? And it's Jesus. Okay? And so, they're having a conversation. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go now, sin no more. What happened there? This is what happened there. It's just described quickly. Christ said, I forgive you. Go now, sin no more. And then he says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does it mean to have the light of life? It means Christ leading you as you go. All right. Now, check this out. Romans 2 verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? On this side, I'm fighting to survive. I'm fighting that God may just love me. On this side, I'm responding to kindness. It's been so good to me. Here's this area of my life. So good to me. Here's this area of my life. And it's interesting, what happened in our country is we moved the church over to this side. We said, Yesal gaan. Yesal aayemp aantrek. Yesal stil sit. Yesal gaan. Yesal nie praat nie. Yesal nie tee praat nie. Pa, hoekom werk hierdie ding so? Sommer. So we took the youth, we took our country and we put it this side. We showed them only death. They walked away from God. Gone. And what we discovered is there's only one way people will come back to God, and that's if they respond to love from this angle. It's the only way. Only way. I guess all of you are here tonight because you want to be here. And that's a lot better. His kindness is the best inspiration for people to change their life. Even that person at work, even that person that you've been praying for, that you're so mad, they make the same stupid mistake over and over and over again. What's going to change them is kindness. With truth, okay? But truth can be kind. That's what happened in my life and in yours. Now, Hebrews 12 verse 1, we're moving towards the axe and the hammer. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we're on this side, all right? Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy who was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Okay, now there's two things I want you to see in chapter, in verse 1, which we're going to work with tonight. As a disciple, okay, on this side, here, right here, you become a disciple. On this side, you're being drawn to God through love. You're being drawn, come closer, right here, something settles in your heart. And you're not in no man's land, you become a disciple. That means to be a follower of Christ. There's two things you will do for the rest of your life. And it will never stop. Okay? Number one, you will lay things down. You will unpack. Happens here. Certain things you will lay down and certain things you will reach to. It's two things you'll be doing the rest of your life. God shows you something in your life. It's time to let this thing go. It is something you lay aside. But God is not sin-focused. I want to tell you that. He's not focused on sin, but He doesn't ignore sin. What you lay down is sin. But why you lay it down? Because you are going somewhere. And where you are going, this thing is just slowing you down. All right. So as you go, you can actually move faster, more efficient if you lay down what God speaks to them. Laying down often speaks about sins in your life. Whereas running endurance with the race that's set before you speaks about the vision God gives you. And both needs to happen. Okay? If you don't have a vision, if God is not showing you where you're going, if you're not aspiring to something in God, you'll just keep your stuff because you're not going anywhere. You can might as well just stand with it. Okay? But also, you can't go without making the load lighter. Does it make sense? So here's just a few thoughts. So you'll be called to turn away from certain things and you'll be called to embrace other things. Okay, your calling. You'll pray into your future, which you must be very excited about. Okay, you know God has a future for you. But in the same prayer meeting, you might also repent of sin. Can you see how they come together? Doesn't mean because you are saying sorry for sin, there's no haunt and God will limit your prati. It means you are laying aside what needs to be laid aside now as you are praying into what you are going to, where you're going to. Make sense? I'm breaking away from certain things and I'm breaking into other things. Very active. Lord, what's holding me back? On my way to these amazing calling, what can I put down? What can I take up? Okay? So the premise of dealing with sin is I'm on a great journey. I'm going somewhere. And it is amazing. In the light of that, I can deal with anything. Okay? If we only speak about sin, we don't want to talk about it because makes me feel bad. But if we talk about where you are going, sin becomes very small. We deal with it and we go on. Amen? Awesome. Same thing, Ephesians 4. Just different words. Exactly the same thing. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former man of life. It's okay. Listen, when people are here, don't get mad at them. They're not seeing at this moment. They're messing up. Okay? Be mature if you're on that side and love them even if they're harsh to you. They don't know another way, all right? But when you are this side, what was previously normal to you, wat maar altijd gebeurt, ons doen dit altijd zo, be willing to lay that down. Because you're being shown a new life now, all right? So put off the old self, which belongs to the dark side, the former side. Be renewed in your mind. And put on the new side. Okay? It's very active. Something is happening. Putting down and taking up. And there's two ways in which we do this. I only have 2 points for tonight. The axe and the hammer. Number one, the axe. Okay? The axe, speaking figuratively, okay, speaks of moments of deliverance, moments of freedom, which you can experience as you trust in God and turn away from sin. This is a moment, something happens, you take a stand, and boom, everything is different. It's like you take an axe and you chop through a rope. And that rope is broken. Something was bound to it, now it's broken. In a moment of making a decision. Check this out. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare for tonight, our example is an axe, okay? Spiritual axe. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. It means it's not earthly stuff, okay? But have divine power to destroy strongholds. You're going into spiritual warfare here, okay? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against knowledge of God and take every thought captive. It's battle talk, okay? You have the ability to step into a battle spiritually and decide what goes in your life and what not. And then spiritually, God can give you an axe and you are allowed to swing this axe at stuff. Do you know that? As you read the Bible, as you spend time with God, you are called by God to take your life and hang it next to His Word and what you experience in your heart, and then you may start shaping your life. If you do it this side, you will chop your own head off with an axe. Okay, this won't work. And you will hit other people because you're not seeing. Okay, all that can happen here is you can meet Christ. You don't pray for your friend to stop abusing drugs, okay? That can be the secondary prayer. You pray for your friend to meet Jesus because he gets the power to deal with all the stuff on that side, this side. This is just leading to Christ. Every person you know that does not know Jesus, this should just be channeled to him. And if he's honest about substance abuse, you can say, it's not good for you, but you know what? Jesus can help you. That is the start, okay? And if he's going to like take his life or something, lock him up somewhere, I don't know, do something. But when you're not there for long enough, he's going to use it again until God opens his eyes. Are you with me? Now, the reason we talk about an axe here is because when you deal with the spiritual axe, you can actually see a lot of momentum in a moment. In a moment of turning, or in a moment of dealing with something, you will immediately feel something lift. You will immediately feel relieved. You will feel peace where there was no peace, okay? It's almost, if I have to describe it to something in the natural that can quickly changes. You know, I know maybe it's only my wife and I that has a bit of conflict. But you know when you had a bit of a thing with someone you love and you're like, you know that moment when you guys both say sorry? Who knows what I'm talking about? And everything changed in a moment. And you're like, 1 hour ago, I felt like spiritually something is choking me and I can't believe it's all it took was for us to sit up. Now that's more or less the relief and the feeling when I talk about the axe that I want you to connect to it. It's a moment. We talk, we forgive. What changed? A lot of stuff changed in the spirit. You actually used the axe. You said, I'm not going to carry on being mad at my wife or other way around. You go in, you deal with it, you've chopped it off. And everything in your home changed. I mean, you have a flight picky, young bit of it, and the axe, okay? And so this is how you deal with stuff. Remember, you're on that side. It can be in worship. It can be at your quiet time at home. God may remind you in your car. Is you take stuff captive and destroy what needs to be destroyed. You don't play around with it, okay? Stuff that you use the axe with is stuff that you... Listen, I don't like talking about alcohol because the Holy Spirit speaks plenty about it to people. But alcohol is something you may enjoy. I can't believe I don't want to give you guys permission even yet. But it's not a sin. It's not a sin to have a glass of wine with your wife. Okay? So it makes it actually a very dangerous thing because it can destroy your life without you knowing it, and you will actually say, oh man, this was my vain, but it might take you over. The Bible says, watch out, it'll ruin your life. Okay, so you need to be very sensitive if you had a past of drinking. Very sensitive. Okay. But you may drink it. But so let's say you can in a way do it unto the glory of God. Okay, can we go as far as that? We can, right? Can you have an adulterous relationship in a way that's glorified to God? There's no way. You can't measure it. You can say a half a glass of wine with my wife. I can see that we can talk about God and talk to Him and invite Him. You know, we know He changed water into wine. And the way we are using it is glorified. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't like alcohol. Okay? Some of my friends, they were so addicted to alcohol, the Holy Spirit clearly told them not to drink, so they won't touch it. Very good, because it's saving their lives. Okay? But now, when it comes to adultery, okay? As jy met iemand in die bed is, met wie jy nie in die bed hoort nie, and you want to love God and you're on this side, you take the axe and you stop it at that moment. And it's not, you don't ease your way out of it. Okay? You don't deal with it that way. It's not how it works. You will destroy yourself. The moment you get the grace and the ability to see it, you stop it. That will happen here, by the way. Right here. When you bow to Him. So the axe, we're not dealing with something here. We are stopping something here. If you know something you would do with drugs, okay, if you know this thing comes into my life and it makes me someone I'm not, and my wife is at risk of being hurt, I'm at risk of being hurt. It's the axe. You don't ease your way. You don't moderately use drugs. Okay? Axe. Now this side, you will try over and over and over again. Last in Narvik, boys. Yeah. Tot volgende naweek. Last naweek, boys. Because you don't have the power, okay? And no one's mad at you, but someone should draw you closer to Christ, introduce you. Because on this side, you'll say, that was the last time. Not tonight's going to be the last time. It was the last time. Lord, I'm taking an axe and I'm chopping this thing off. Corners. And so let me be bold. If you stand, okay, guys, be wise. If you stand at risk with alcohol, it's not worth it. I'm telling it to you guys as an older brother and a friend. It is not worth it. Your testimony, your marriage, your mouth, what comes, it's just not worth it. So if the Holy Spirit might draw you into axing it, then axe it. Okay? But be wise about it. Go talk to your good friends about it. Okay? But protect your calling. Okay? It's precious. Now, I also want to say this. People get moderate results on this side. It might stop for a while, but because there's no spiritual thing driving it, they often fall back into where they come from. Where I've seen when there's a furious love relationship with Jesus, people walk away from stuff and they'll never turn back. Because once they taste Christ, they cannot settle for anything less. So wield the axe in your life, okay? Because you know what? It's going to bless you and everyone around you. You're going to be so happy if you see what can actually happen through your life. You don't even know the authority you have, the ability you have to break away from stuff and to break into other stuff. It is out of this world. Because you think you can't do it. You can. You can do such amazing things if you rely on God. Amen. Acts 3 says, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance means I'm going in one direction. There's one thing occupying my life. There's a moment, 180 degrees. I'm changing the way I do this. I want to go this way. So I trust in God. Okay? And so I've got a question before we go to the hammer. My question is this. Do you trust God's love enough to use the axe in your life? Do you trust Him enough? Let me tell you something. If He asks you to put something away, when you use the axe, that is a seed that you put in the ground. And there's a harvest coming for that. Every step He's leading you where it costs you something, there's a harvest. Do you trust God more than your own senses? That's the question. Trust Him, okay? He wants to do amazing things in your life. Right, the hammer. Is you happy with the axe, mentor? The bail? Non-couples, I'm all bail, boys. Now, check this out. Moving over to the hammer, Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul is speaking, and he's telling these guys basically that he's not perfect. He's saying, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. That means godliness. Okay, he's not perfected the art of godliness in his life, and so I have not. And the same with you. Don't stress. We are on a journey. Okay? What's your next step? It's all we're asking. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. If I have taken up the axe and I'm chopping here, I'm forgetting about. I'm not walking around that carcass there and wondering. I am moving before I get tempted again. Okay? And I'm stretching myself forward to what lies ahead. In the next verse, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The only way you'll use the axe, let me just say this, is if you see where you're going. What God can have in you. That's why you need prophetic people in your life to call out the greatness in you. If you know that He wants to use you, you will get rid of what will hold you back. If you have no hope of a plan in God's kingdom, you'll probably put up with what's holding you back. Does it make sense? Guys, speak into one another's life. Paul is saying, He found me as I am, but on this side, I'm on this journey where I am changing and becoming more like Him. So this is something we had on just a few weeks ago. And I just want to fly it quickly again. We'll come back to this with discipleship. If we can go to the next slide. Where the whole story about the girl with saying she writes down the prophecies for other people so that she might treat people not as they are, but where they are going, and invite them into their destiny. And this is where we're turning to the hammer, because we're talking about building one brick on another. Now, I knew almost immediately after I gave my heart to God that I was going to preach to people. I didn't guess it. It was in my spirit. Okay? I also knew that God wanted to use me to make disciples. I knew that I wasn't confused about this. So immediately there was something I was building on. But there was a lot of junk in my life. It was easier for me to get rid of it because I knew God was busy with me, building me one brick upon another so that I can be what He made me to be, which is not finished in my life. I'd say if there's a foundation, maybe I'm built up to here, I would like to finish building and put a roof on the thing and everything. But God is busy in my life. And people called out my destiny over me. And so it was easier for me to turn away. What about you? Where are you going? Do you know that He's called you and He wants to do amazing things through you? Get busy. Get busy building your testimony. And so accountability. The best definition for that is help me take an account of my abilities. Help me make sure that I get to this place where I can get with God. And you are my buddy, and if there's anything in my life that's slowing me down, please speak with me because I'm building. I'm going somewhere. the hammer represents the spiritual building and discipline you exercise as you develop into the workmanship He created you to be. Okay? There's some emotions here when you meet Christ. I get emotional when the band is worshiping, but a lot of these things, God has showed it to you, and you better get your emotions on board. You better get your hands on board, because He's not going to psych you up the whole time, and every time it's going to feel like the band is right there when you're in Pick and Pay. The band is playing in the background. You're going to have to put your hands on the hammer and bolt. Right? Now, let me just check my next slide here. Let's read this first. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, everyone who's met me, everyone who's following me, okay, and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Let's quickly go to the next slide as well, because I'm moving that way. Check this out. This is very important. When you chop with the axe, okay, things might happen suddenly. I'm feeling better. Yes, this worked. I experienced peace, okay? The hammer speaks of building up with endurance until God completes His work in you. One action is an action which brings an immediate result or feeling of freedom. The other action, you must also act, but it's like you have to act with faithfulness because you've just placed one brick on another. Okay? So it calls you into a life of worshiping God and not on a manakamp and respond to the altar call and go back up. Okay? You need to lay a brick of faithfulness, of worship, of getting the word, of changing routine, going to small group, loving someone else, washing someone's feet, getting prayed for, and you're building. It's a life, day by day by day. Because here's the thing. You can stop being a drug addict today. Okay? But you will not become a great husband in one day. Okay? You can stop spending too much money because you're so scared about your looks and you almost spend it all, and you can stop that today and you can be free. You can have money in your account and God can set you free because you know what? You're actually beautiful as He made you. Okay? You can stop that once. It's a moment. You're not becoming a good wife in one moment. It's brick upon brick upon worship, upon reading, doing courses, changing course. Okay? That's the hammer. Make sense? Don't die on me, computer. It's too late. Yes, it is. When I went to university, that's what I wanted you to bring. I forgot about it. Remember I said I want you to bring something here, but I forgot. I knew I was going to preach one day. Okay? 7 years later, I preached my first sermon. Now, all of you guys are not going to preach, but some of you are going to build 7 years until you come to a place where God releases something just as powerful in your life. Okay? When I went to university my first year, I bought my first black notebook, like this one. Okay? And in all my years of university, I didn't miss one Sunday, except when it was holidays. And I lived 70 kilometers away from Stellenbosch. I didn't miss one. Every single Sunday, the date is in there. This is the date, who was preaching, what's the title, and I started recording. Listen to how people was preaching, received it. The next day, the next 2 days, because we had church a long time, Stellenbosch, sometimes up to 3 hours. I had 4 or 5 pages for it. It would take me 2 days in my quiet time to go over those things. But I can tell you now, 2003, the third sermon in March, what it was and who preached. For 7 years, I've got a pile of books like this. I just trained. It was one Sunday on another Sunday on another Sunday on another Sunday. 7 years. God, I don't know when it's going to happen. And maybe if it took another 7 years, it would be 14 years. I don't care. But I was going to put one brick on another. What about you? Where are you going? For some of you, that is to be the best small group leader you can be. Where people are streaming into your home. Not my home. Your home. Because you're getting something that I don't get. One brick on another, on another, on another. Can we go on to the... Can we get the band on, please? That'll be cool if we could worship at the end. We're almost done. Most of the things you can leave behind who you are not with speed. Okay, this can happen quickly. All those things that's stealing from you, that's breaking you, that's causing pain and anxiety and pressure in your marriage or pressure at work, all the things that you actually not, you can often leave like this. Sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes some counseling, but mostly it's a process of turning your way. Everything that you are becoming, one brick on another, on another, on another. And so Paul says, run the race with endurance. Because you are going to need endurance. Because you're not going to feel like it to put that brick on there. It's not run with emotions. It's emotions that sometimes God will specifically build your character. You're going to have to pick up a brick and you don't feel like it. You know what? Put it there. Put it on. Because it's one brick that's found its place. The axe and the hammer. You can do amazing things in your life. You can do amazing things. God gives you the ability to swing those two weapons. Which one are you good at? Sometimes some people are skilled at saying no. Some are very good builders. But you need both, all right? But now remember where it comes in. I had a conversation with someone just a while ago. If you don't understand that He loves you, you know, you're going nowhere. The first thing you need to know is that He loves you. It's the starting point because that's where you get your weapons. Okay? So every brick, it's because He loves me. Everything I chop, I trust Him more than this because I need Him more than this. There you go. Moments of breakthrough, endurance and building. Can we stand tonight? I'm enjoying my new stage here. If we can sing that song, Exalted, Cole, that'll be cool. Guys, what I want you to do is, I'd like to step away from the situation for a moment. And I'd like to ask you to ask God to show you. Are you busy with a hammer tonight? Or are you busy with an axe? Or are you like axe and hammer in one hand? If you can do both, that's amazing. But in worship, let's just respond to that. Ask God, won't you just close your eyes for a moment and pray this prayer before we sing. Just in your own words, Holy Spirit, You are allowed to show me with a light in my heart those little boxes that the enemy has been hiding away from your life. You may show it to me now, and then I will deal it. Maybe you're going to see something that you must build towards, or maybe He's going to show you something that you must push over the edge and never look into again. All right? Let's just give Him time to work with us.